Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell Hotel. I just thank you, right? So thank you again for joining me. Appreciate the time. It is Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday, but guess what? I'm not going to be able to cook tacos today because I have to take some kids to the dentist today. So I guess I'm not going to be able to do that today. So they're going to have to fend for themselves. Anyway, as you can see, I have a guest here. I mean, finally, I got this lady. You know, I've been trying to get her forever, right? Sarah Dendashi. I call her Ask a Concierge. I mean, that's what she goes by. That's her handle. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, my handle.
Your handle. There you go. That's her handle. I mean, we're gonna get into asking her a lot of questions about being a concierge, how she got into being a concierge. You know, what are the things she likes about it and what are the things she doesn't like about it? Well, so we're going to see. So, but we've already been having a good time already. And we just, I've met Sarah maybe once or twice, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like we always connect no matter what.
We always have
good conversations and we have a good time. So we laugh a lot and today should be no difference. Okay.
Get ready.
Exactly. But before we get to Sarah, of course, you know, I have to go through some things. And just so you know, we are Hospitality Unplugged, which means we talk about anything we want to talk about. Anything hospitality related, we can say it, you know, but we're not going to say anything crazy or just out there. But I don't know. Maybe Sarah will. I don't know. But I'm not.
Uh-oh.
I'm not. But just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it. Just so we remember that.
So
right?
PC.
Exactly. So hope everyone had a great weekend. On a personal note, I mean, you know, every week I always, you know, give you guys an update on my dad. So just in case you did not know, my dad passed away last Wednesday. It was the day after the show. So, excuse me. Just want to let everybody know that. And I appreciate everybody on Facebook and Instagram that have been sending me messages and, you know, condolences and prayers. I mean, those are really appreciated, especially during this time. So, and I was not going to not do the show because this is getting me through some of the stuff, you know, so it's kind of therapy for me as well. So I do appreciate all that. But continue your prayers and your condolences. We do appreciate that. Okay. So from my family to you guys, thank you again. Industry news. You guys know that LAX, and Sarah, I think you probably know about this. LAX is banning ride sharing within the airport starting October 29th at 3 a.m.
What do you think about that? I am actually so excited about that.
You want them to ban it?
Yeah, I do. Because, okay, lately when I've gone to LAX, it has been a nightmare. And the way that they have it set up, it's not working. You go to other places, other airports, and like the whole Uber rideshare Lyft thing is just, it works. And in LA, it's horrible. You don't know, like half the times I don't even know, am I going to be able to make my flight? And I do get there in advance for my flight, but like I can even get to, what is it, Ralph's on Sepulveda, and it might even take me an hour to get to the airport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's like bogus to me. Like like people are getting out and they're like walking with their bags. That's like, what? So they have to do something. And I was even just in San Francisco and they recently made a switch where they actually have everybody go out and they have rideshare pick people up actually one part of their parking lot. Mm. Now, that doesn't work for LA. I think every airport is a little bit different. Mm. But if people, basically, it's like if they're not having that whole thing where they're doing all the pickups where the departures are, that's going to free up so much space for so that people aren't missing flights, because I am sure they have had an uptick in people missing flights.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. They say that from 2010, 59 million people came through the airport. Last year, 2018, 87.5 million people came to the airport.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's 30 million more people.
It is. Right? Exactly. So, and the airport has not gotten that much larger.
It's gotten to, no, it hasn't. It's still the same footprint, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So they definitely have to do something. I just dropped somebody off the airport, picked someone up the other day. I mean, it takes forever to get in
that
there.
That must be a very good friend.
Yeah. Well,
that's the joke.
It's a neighbor. It's a neighbor.
Okay, no, I know. But I'm saying it's like to do that. To do that. I mean, that's
journey.
That is like friendship level.
Exactly.
Next level.
Exactly.
But you know, just the other day I parked at a hotel by the airport and I took a shuttle and I was like, ugh, what's this going to be like, me picking up a shuttle when I get back versus calling like a ride share? And like I went out, the shuttle came right in. Probably I waited like 5-7 minutes. It took me there. I was in my car and it was super easy. So I was like, I'm thinking if they're going to do a shuttle service for people for rideshare, you know they're going to be coming every 5 minutes.
Exactly.
And it's just going to be moving people that, quite frankly, you're probably going to get to the rideshare in the same amount of time that you would be just standing there at the airport twiddling your thumbs. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll just be better all around.
We're going to find out.
We are.
October 29th at 3 a.m. I'm going to be there. So we'll see. We'll see. So, but thing of it is, they said you can walk, like the people at Terminal 1 could actually walk to where the parking or that pickup is going to be.
That's going to be great.
But those people can walk. But what about the people that are in Terminal 7?
Well, they take the shuttle. It's okay.
Oh, they wait for the shuttle.
They wait for the shuttle. It's okay.
I can't wait to see how this is going to go. I mean, hopefully,
I hope
something needs to happen.
Yeah.
But the monorail is coming, you know, and that should be done by 2023.
Okay, the monorail.
So, yeah,
okay,
so I'll
perfect.
Wait for that. I'm waiting for the monorail. Okay,
okay, you wait. Good luck.
Okay, I think we beat that subject to death a little bit, but thank you so much. I appreciate that, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Okay, this is Saudi Arabia allows unmarried couples to share hotel rooms.
Ooh.
This is the first time. So these are tourists, right? So Saudi Arabia is opening up their doors to tourism now,
which is actually right? I'm very excited about. I actually have a lot to say
why
about this.
Why are you excited about this, Sarah?
So, and we can dive into it a little bit more later if you want, but I actually lived in Saudi Arabia till I was 6.
That's why. That was a segue.
That was a segue. So I'm half Lebanese, for those that don't know. I know the blonde hair really gives it away. I know. But so I actually lived in Saudi Arabia till I was 6, and I have a lot of cousins that actually live both in Riyadh and in Jeddah, for those that are familiar with the country. And don't get me wrong, there has been a lot of bad press with the country in general, and they certainly have a lot of obstacles and changes to obstacles to overcome and changes to have happen and implement. But I do believe that they're really trying to make a positive shift and really kind of westernize themselves. I mean, the fact that they're opening it up, you wouldn't be able to go visit Saudi Arabia unless you had a visa and an invite from somebody from the country before, whether it was a work thing or a family thing. And now that they even have their mindset is shifted so that they want to start allowing in other people, a change has to happen. Now, I've even thought about, I would love to cover it, but in being mindful as far as what my message would be and my experience would be like an incredible experience in Saudi Arabia, because I have family there and it's like pretty well connected family there as well too. But I am not going to cover it as whether an influencer or content creator until I can guarantee that whatever experience I'm having, other people are going to have. So it's a step in the right direction. Are we there yet? I don't think yet. Like, I would hope 3 years, maybe it's five, but I'm excited about it. So again, step in the right direction, and hopefully that they can really kind of like get a lot of things in order and, you know, work on their whole PR reputation.
Very good. Yes. And you'll be the main person that they'll be helping them. You'll be the right person to help them.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I got to work on my Arabic before then.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well, we got to work on that. See, and I didn't, it wasn't even planned for me to ask this question. Mm-hmm. This came up as I was doing my research on my industry news, and I just happened to throw that in there. And then after that, I looked at your bio and it said you lived in Saudi Arabia.
And you
said,
were like, this meant to be.
This is something else. Right? See how things just fall into place on Air with Russell Hotels? I mean, this is it. Hashtag hospitality unplugged. Yeah. Didn't I just say that?
Hashtag. By the way, can I actually just say, because I'm doing an Instagram live here. If anybody is tuning in and you guys have questions for us.
It's your show. Go right in.
So not my show. I'm so sorry. But if you have questions that you want us to talk about that's hospitality related, send a message right here. Also, you can check out LA Talk Radio on Facebook Live. Yes, send questions.
Yes, you can.
Sorry.
I was joking about that.
Okay, going back to his show.
No,
I'm just a guest.
Go right ahead.
No, don't mind me.
Like I said, I've been waiting for you. You know, Sarah, she canceled on me like several times before I got on the show.
I only canceled on you once.
I'm going to be in Asia. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in Europe. I'm like, well, don't you have a job here in L.A., lady?
Maybe. I show up every once in a while. I love my job.
We're on air with Sarah Dandashi. She's a concierge. I mean, the top level concierge. I mean, there's concierge and then there's concierge. She's one of those. Okay. But we're going to get to that in a minute. But anyway, contact information, how do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels or Russell Edmond, which is my name. But, Russell, I have an email. If you have any questions at all, you're interested in being on the show, sponsorships, things like that, Russell@RussellHotels.com. My Twitter handle, Russell of Hotels @RussellHotels. IG, I'm at Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, I have two pages, like you guys know, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And excuse me. And my website is RussellofHotels.com. So you got the theme, right? This is a live show, right? So we don't edit. I mean, whatever we say, okay? And we try to keep it clean. My mom listened to the show, so I have to keep it clean. So I don't want to, have to get that phone call. So we keep it clean. At least I do. You could get it on iTunes. I mean, okay, it's a live show. After the show is over, it becomes a podcast. Okay, so it's there forever, right? So you can, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, if that's iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever that is, it's on there. So, okay, just do that and you'll find it. Sponsorship opportunities, if you're interested in, promoting, your hotel, your restaurant, your vegan, vegan restaurant, things like that.
Wink, wink.
Yes. career opportunities, advertising your brand. Just reach out to me. And I gave you my emails, Russell@RussellHotels.com. And you always want to know who listens to the show. I mean, a lot of people listen to the show, right? So it's like 50, and I keep saying this, 50-50. 50% hospitality people. And that can be hotel, that can be CVB, tourism boards. I mean, the restaurants across the board, right? Those people listen. And then the other 50% are people that actually buy those types of things. I mean, those services or your product. So there's people actually that, professionals that listen to the show too. I mean, doctors, lawyers, I mean, all over the world, actually. I mean, I have people in Philippines that chime in from time to time, the Bahamas, Europe now. So, so people listen to they watch and listen to the On Air with Russell Hotel show. So you do get a lot of reach from people. And then now I have Sarah on here. So what do you think that's going to do? Sarah's a major influencer, just in case you didn't know. She's this top concierge person here in L.A., but she's a world-renowned influencer. She has like 50 freaking thousand followers on Instagram. Okay.
Something like that.
Something, yeah, at least that. At least that. Okay. I may be dating, okay? I may, maybe I'm a little behind.
Yeah, you're but, so 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get into that. But what is Russell of Hotels Group? I do hotel site selection. Of course, that's the main thing I do. Digital marketing via social media, help build your presence, videos, you know, keep you relevant. Okay. Being relevant is good in social media, right? Is that important?
Relevance is key. Actually, that's one of my big things that certainly in promoting my profession and the industry mm-hmm. is how do you stay relevant, especially in an industry that's changing so much. You've exactly. got technology, you have travelers that are demanding new things. They need new things. Then so it's all about how you can stay relevant, really. Mm-hmm. And so relevance is key. Oh, look at you getting, are you getting a call?
I don't know who that is. Somebody from Juniper, Florida. I'm not Florida. Answering that call. I have Florida. No idea.
I think we know who is. That is. That could be our friend, our mutual friend.
Is he?
Maybe. He's from Florida.
You think I'm going to answer that phone? No. Scott Eddie, if that's you, 323-203-0815 if you want to call in. 323-205-0815. You want to call in and talk to me and talk to Sarah, okay?
People should be calling in.
Yeah, don't call me on the cell phone because I'm not answering.
Oh, my God. Don't call me. Let's see.
Not during the show. Not during the show is what I mean.
What's this number here, 323?
323-203-0815. Yeah, cool. Don't, if you call in, don't call in talking crazy initially because you go right into the show. It's not like I can put you on hold or anything like that. It just goes right into the show.
Oh, geez.
So we don't want that. But anyway, so I told you what I did and what I'm about. Who's on blast? So a couple people here had said they're going to be on the show, but they still haven't been on the show for whatever reason. And that is Brian Churchill. I mean, I have to call you, Brian. So you're not really, you're technically not on blast because you said you would do it, but I have to call you. So, okay, you're not on blast, but you're on blast. Carol Motley, a.k.a. C-Mott, you're on blast. Carol is with, she's a director of convention sales at Destination DC. Luis Torres. You know Luis Torres?
I do know Luis Torres.
With Universal Studios?
Yes.
You did a great video on...
on Universal Studios.
Yes, you did.
I love my
a
people
at Universal.
And I love Luis. I've known him for a very, very long time.
I have too, but this dude is not calling me back. So
I can get him to call you back?
Well, then that's how it's supposed to work. It's
that's
supposed to work organically, right?
You're going to ask a concierge.
Exactly. And then Stephanie Corsino with Hong Kong Tourism. She's on blast. Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond with Sync Meeting Management. You're on blast. Remember, Sam, you said you're going to be on the show, and then all of a sudden you kind of just ghosted me. So what's going on? Let me know. So anyway, now that that's out of the, you know, out of the way, and Sarah's already actually introduced herself already, but
I'm
now
sorry.
I got to do it
I'm
formally.
Formally introduce me. I'm excited
already,
for this.
She's already taking
Tell me
over
about
the
me.
Show. So introduction of today's guest, Sarah Dandashi, a.k.a. Ask a Concierge, is an award-winning concierge who knows L.A. like the back of her hand. Born in Pennsylvania, grew up in Saudi Arabia, and lived in London, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and New York.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, okay. Now L.A.
Now you've been, but you only been in L.A. 9 years.
Wait, that must be an old bio. I've been here 14 years.
Is it? Well, they need to update your bio then.
How old am I? Jesus. I'll take 9 years if we can shave off 5 years
of
my age.
She began her career at Le Hermitage in Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
right?
Beverly Hills.
And then went to the Peninsula in
mm-hmm.
Beverly Hills.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, she just came in at the top. Okay. Just so you know, if you guys know LA Hotel, she came in at the top. She didn't come in at the courtyard like I did, you know, 100 years ago. Right. She came in at the top. Okay. And then before landing at the London and West mm-hmm. Hollywood.
Exactly.
So and that's where I know her from, the London and West Hollywood, among other places like I mean, like I said, she's an influencer. So I met her through travel
massive.
Travel massive. That's why I think that's where I initially met you. But no, but I think I may have met you at the Sheraton through
probably through Daisaku and Shizuru.
There you go.
My
there you go.
Two there
you
go. Favorite concierge there.
Well, it's three. I have three. Okay.
That's cool.
I don't know which order they're in.
You don't need to put this in order because I love them so much. I have amazing stories with the two of them. They're amazing. And to be named in the ranks with them is an honor.
Oh, very good. Well, without further ado, here's Sarah. I thank you for coming.
Yay!
Stepping to the mic on the On Air with Russell Hotel show.
Wait, is it weird if you clap for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. All right, well, that's cool.
We're in for a treat today.
We are. Hold on. Get ready. Buckle in.
So, Okay, how do you get involved? Because people ask me, like, when mm-hmm. they knew the show was coming up, a couple of people I know, they're interested in being concierge.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get into that? How do you do that?
How do you become the go-to person for everything in a city?
Exactly.
Yeah, how do you do that? That's crazy. It's nuts. I mean, look, there's no one way to it. A lot of concierge that I know actually kind of fell into the position and the job. And most of them had hotel experience, so that does go a long way, certainly front desk experience. I started actually at the Four Seasons in Washington, D.C. as a hostess. So I'd worked in food and beverage, and then when I moved out to L.A., I'm like, oh, well, I like hotels. They have really good benefits. Because any 21-year-old would rationalize getting a job. So that's when I went through and I was like, okay, well, let me see what hotels there are here. And because I had 5-star, 5-diamond experience, that definitely went a long way. And then in my particular case, I got lucky. Like, I applied as like a bartender or cocktail server. And then the general manager was like, let's take this interview in a different direction. And I'm thinking like, I just moved to LA. What does he mean by that? Different direction? And then he's like, what do you think about being a concierge? And my 21-year-old self knew a little bit about what concierge did. And I'm like, I think I have to know about the city. And in full disclosure, I just moved to LA. So I'm good with maps. I'm good with maps. I can figure it out. And he's like, yeah, you're fine. And afterwards, I'm like, really? I'm good with maps? That's what I say to myself. I went to Georgetown, but I'm really good with maps. Okay. But he was like, no, I think you'll be good. You have the right personality. And that's really what it is that no concierge at any time knows all of the answers. But it's about being able how to find the right answer. And if you're really good, it just takes one phone call to find the right answer. So at a very young age, I was like, I didn't know the difference between like the different BMWs and like, you know, people really like to rent cars in LA. And like as a 21-year-old, like if you're asking me a difference between like a BMW SUV versus like a sedan, I had no idea. Now I can talk to you about cars, all different types of cars and their interiors and the color and blah, blah, blah. But like at the time, that was very much not something that was a part of my world. And, you know, to private jets and this. And then you just, over time, you learn the questions to ask. And if you're just very much like, you know what, I actually don't know that answer, but let me go ahead and find out for you. People are fine with that, you know, because you're not being like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You're just being like, you know, good question. I don't know. Let me find it out. And because you spin it that way, people have no problem with you not knowing the answer off the top of your head, you mm-hmm. know? So It's about having the right attitude and to be like, let me figure that out for you. People are into that. They're like, oh, cool. We have this whippersnapper wants to go find out how I can get sushi on my plane to wherever. Anyway, but yeah, wow. And then you figure it out.
Wow.
So it was a lot of figuring it out. And then also when it came to learning restaurants, I would drive around after work and like literally pop into the restaurants because I was like, there's one of me. I only have one stomach. I can't eat at all these restaurants. I got one stomach, one bank account. Like, that's all I can do, okay? But I would, like, literally pop in and take a look at the place. So at least I had an idea for the ambiance. Mm-hmm. I mean, food, you know that we're really, really lucky. We have a lot of great food options. So at the end of the day, you know, it really is about the atmosphere that you're kind of – wanting to help guide people on. So that's kind of how I learned it.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
And so, I'm good with maps.
Okay, there you go. Well, you don't have to do that now. You using Thomas guides then? Is that what you're using when you first started?
I am not that old. What is this? That is ridiculous. We had the internet when I started.
You said I'm good with maps. Well, everybody should be good with maps.
With MapQuest. Okay, like this was, we had MapQuest. Oh my gosh. I tried to go on MapQuest the other day. I was like, this site still exists? That's bad. Anyway, but yeah, no, everything you could Google, but it's also like, not everybody can Google the same way. Some people are really like Google inept.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Some people have other problems. See, you know, I'm thinking Thomas Guide, you know, for people that are, you know, a little older than her. You know, you had to thumb through.
A little older. Could you say a lot older than me? A little older than Sarah.
I'm like, I don't even know how old you are.
That is the number one thing that people Google about me. Is that weird?
I don't even know. I don't even want to know.
That is weird.
Because you'll be asking me how old I am, and I'm not going to tell you. It's not your problem. It's not
anybody's business. We can
guess.
We don't
need to get to that.
My birthday is next June. That's about it.
Wow, you got me choking in here.
Exactly, we're ready for the laughs.
Wow, so that's interesting. So yeah, okay, so we know that Sarah's good with maps, and she just told you about how she got into it, as well as it takes a good attitude. So she didn't have any experience, but she had a good attitude, and she was able to find things. I mean, and saying she didn't know was okay because she said, well, let me find out. So it's all about how you spin it, right?
100%. It's all in how you spin it. And I mean, that even goes to just back to like hospitality 101. And sometimes you have to say, I mean, the thing with hospitality is you always want to say yes to people. But in reality, sometimes you have to say no, whether it's like there's just not space available, whether it's just not possible to do, whether it's illegal, whatever it is, you have to sometimes say no. And it's how you deliver that no really can make the difference, so that it doesn't rub them off like in a wrong way, you know, and they're like, okay, and then it's that, no, we can't do this, but we can do this. So you're always giving them an option.
Now, what is Le Clef d'Or?
Le Clé d'Or.
Le Clé d'Or.
Le Clé d'Or en français. Okay, so for...
Oui.
Well, okay, perfect.
Parlez-vous français?
Oui, je parle en français un petit peu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oui. Go ahead.
He was like, I'm not speaking any more French. I did speak French. I used to be fluent in French when I was younger, but when you don't practice, it's a little difficult. But so... Forgive me for those of you that are listening or watching and that are hearing my amazing French. So Le Clé d'Or basically stands for the Gold Keys in French. And it is the professional organization of international concierge. It is a very prestigious organization. So not anybody can get into it. You have to be a concierge that has many years of experience, at least 5 years of experience. People have to write in. You have to have sponsors. People have to write in on your behalf supporting that you would be part of the organization. You have to prove that you are committed to the profession. It's like a big deal to be part of this. Yeah. I joined 6 years ago, actually. So it's been 6 years. I'm still considered a baby concierge, even though I don't consider myself baby anything. just because I'm like... It's been a while.
Anyway.
No, but...
Are you a millennial? Will you be classified as a millennial?
I'm a millennial on the top end. It depends on the classification, but yeah. I was born in 1982 for anybody that wants to do the math. I don't care. I just put that out there. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay. I figured you're around there.
Okay.
Anyway, millennial. Okay, go ahead.
Millennial.
That makes sense now. That makes sense now. She don't even know what a Thomas guide is. Anyway, go ahead.
I knew what it was.
Keep going, Sarah. Keep
Hashtag going. Millennial. Jeez.
Keep going.
Jeez.
Keep going.
Oh my gosh. So you know, in order to become, you know, that's what Le Clé d'Or is. So, and it is a very tight knit community. So for anybody that's seen the movie Grand Budapest Hotel, a great film. And there's this classic scene that, you know, the one guy is in, I think it was Gustave, was in trouble, and he calls on one concierge friend and he's like, let me help you. And calls another concierge who calls another concierge who calls another concierge. And that is very much, that's so accurate. That's so what the industry is. Now, hopefully nobody's ever in as much trouble that they need to have six concierge to help them get whatever they need. But it's not uncommon. Like, I have a concierge friend of mine from Moscow that calls on me because he is a guest that lives, a wife lives in the Palisades. So I help them procure things in Los Angeles. And same for me. It's like sometimes I have a guest and they're going to Berlin, and then I call my friends, and they're actually friends that are concierge at the hotel in Berlin, to be like, hey, I need to do this, or what do you recommend? Or, hey, they're going to be staying at your hotel. Can you take good care of them? And so there really is this camaraderie. I mean, the motto of the organization is called, it is in service through friendship. And there's nothing really like it. You go to these conferences, and that's how you actually become friends with these people, is that every year they have a conference. And you know, when you're sharing drinks with somebody who's from another country that does the exact same thing that you do, and that's the thing that's so interesting, is that this profession, and I'm sure as others, it doesn't matter where you are. Like here, me in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, I deal with the same stuff that my friend in Berlin deals with, that my friend in Sydney deals with, that my friends in Tokyo, you name it, Kuala Lumpur. In fact, sometimes we even have the same guests, that it's like we're in it. Like, we're in the trenches together, as I like to say. That's a very glamorous way of putting it. But so it's like there is this camaraderie, and there's something unlike it, you know, in that you just like, you have this immediate like brotherhood, sisterhood. It's like, we know, like, I feel you. Mm-hmm. I get it. We get it. So I think that's why it's kind of so special. So I've been part of it for 6 years. And then in 2015, 2 years after I joined, I actually won, in layman's terms, it would be like the best young concierge in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, the award has a different name, but for purposes for other people to understand, that's what it would be. So, or it would be like the Concierge Olympics, or as I like to say, the Miss Universe of concierge. But there were guys involved, and there's no sash. But I did get solid gold keys, so that was exciting.
Well, that's good. So that's the, when I say award winning, that's the award.
That is the award. So yeah, so basically the U.S. chapter of Lake Lador chose me to represent them, and you have to be under the age of 35. Which ages me. You have to be under the age of 35. You have to have this has to be your first international conference, and then your country has to sponsor you and put you forward for it. So the U.S. put me forward, and I represented them in Mendoza, Argentina.
Wow.
And it was really exciting. It was really a special moment to get to be there. And it was right around the time I started Ask a Concierge as well, too. So people were really like excited about it. They were like, oh, it's like the social media girl. She, like, we want her to win. So it was cool that I felt like when I got it, that it was just, there were a lot of people from different countries that were like equally as excited. And it wasn't just a, yay, go USA, which, I mean, it's awesome to represent the US, but that other people were just excited, because to me, it's like, I want, like, we're representing the profession, you know, not just like the country or anything like that. It's a profession. Like, guys, let's like move forward together, you know? So I could talk for hours.
Well, I can see.
Guys, sorry.
Well, that's good. No, that's good. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about.
You're like, thank goodness this is a 1 hour show.
Yeah, you know, actually not even 1 hour. But anyway, that's fine. But no, that's what I want. That's why I'm on here, because you have so much energy, so excited, and you have passion for what you do. And that's the thing. So passion. Some people want to be concierge or want to be whatever, but if you don't have the passion behind it, you may not be that successful.
No, you have to have the passion, because it's tough. It's not.
I mean, you're creating experiences for people, and you're putting a
miracles.
Lot of
miracles. I like to call them miracles.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
She's, okay.
I'm kidding.
She's creating miracles. Not okay. That's fine. That's fine.
But experiences, yeah, definitely experiences. And on the off chance a miracle, cool. I'll take that.
Okay. Now, have you ever failed to deliver on something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm human.
Give me an example. Give me an example.
Dude, you want to just have me like air my failures out there? My dirty laundry?
I wasn't able to deliver on this. No, I'm just joking.
No, definitely. All the time. I mean, sometimes people ask for like a reservation at certain restaurants, and it's like 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and they want to get into a certain restaurant. I'm like, I can't get you in like in an hour. It's 8 p.m. This restaurant fills up a month in advance, but I can offer you like other options. And so, you know, I mean, there's
so it's about other. I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
that's the thing.
It's about other options. Yeah. You can't do this, but I can do.
But
that.
I can do this exactly.
Yeah. So or it's never just a complete no.
No, no, no. Unless it's illegal.
Okay. All right. Well.
And then that's a.
What's wrong with that? No. What's wrong with illegal?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, a lot of things are wrong. Oh
no,
my God.
I'm joking. So okay. So how do you? Because this is my thing. I mean, you're a concierge at one hotel.
Correct.
Okay.
Ish.
But
yes, yeah, yeah.
But your skills go
beyond that. Mm-hmm.
And so how do you, it's a delicate balance here.
It absolutely is a delicate balance. And I will always say that I so love and support my hotel because they've been so supportive of me.
And what hotel is that?
I work at the London, West Hollywood.
You got to give the London applause.
Yeah,
is Jeff Kulick still there?
Yeah, he is.
I'll see him later today. Well, make sure you tell him I said hello. He was my GM years ago at the Hilton in San Pedro.
I did not know that.
Of course you did, because I just told you. You probably weren't even born then.
We don't need to talk about that. I'm going to say something to him today because I'm going to see him when I get ready for work and not wear my leopard sweatshirt. Not exactly hotel worthy. So the London. They've been great. They've been really good. And so a little backstory of myself, I actually have a background in film and TV, and that was why I moved to Los Angeles. In that, my mom is trying to call. Not now, Mom. Go on the live. Go. My mom just tried to call me. Oh, Lord. Goodness gracious. This is what happens when you use your phone for a live. Anyway. my background is film and TV. So I've always been passionate about, you know, creating stories. And I actually, this is my favorite sort of story is actually how I stumbled across creating Ask a Concierge. I was doing a writing course and our instructor told all of us that we have to do a vlog. And I'm like, what am I going to do a vlog on? I like to eat healthy and I work out, but I'm like, I'm not a guru. I'm not that girl that's going to be like, look at my six-pack abs, mainly because I don't have six-pack abs. But like, you know, I'm like, what can I do? And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I can talk about things to do in LA, but who is going to want to hear about that? I know, very naive. And then like one night, I think, and I'm also like not a big drinker, but I had a cocktail. So
you're a hospitality person. You're not a drinker. Don't tell me that.
I know, right?
All hospitality people, everything's in. You mentioned this a while ago. You said when you guys get together, when your concierge people together,
yeah.
It's always over a cocktail.
It is always over a cocktail.
Hello.
I can have mocktails.
Okay.
Oh my
whatever.
Gosh. I'm a giant child. Look, my mom just joined the live. Thank you, Mom, for calling. I see you now with your heart eye emoji. I had a cocktail and I was like, oh, I'm super creative right now. So I'm like, I'm going to call it Ask a Concierge. Quite frankly, I didn't even know what to call it. And this was strictly for an assignment for this class. And so I did my first vlog on like different types of tour options that you can do in Hollywood. I showed it to the class and they were like, this is really good. And I'm like, what? You guys live in LA. Why would you care about a Hollywood tour? And they're like, well, sometimes we're looking for things to do. Sometimes we have friends in town, family in town. And it was this light bulb moment that I was like, oh, wow. Like I can be creating content that's not necessarily just for people coming to LA, but like people in LA are always looking for that expert advice as far as like things to do and having suggestions. And it all of a sudden broadened my view on who my audience could be. And I'm like, wow, I'm literally able to go, as I like to say, like go beyond the desk. And it became so fulfilling for me because I basically like fell in love with LA all over again because I was able to share it with a new audience and a different audience and one that wasn't just at the hotel, but like people online. And so that's kind of how it grew. And I, you know, certainly specialized in things in the city. And then with time, I now travel quite a bit and I get to focus on other areas as well, too. But that's kind of how it began,
which is an
interesting little, I call it my happy accident.
No, that's good. Fall in love with LA all over again. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
But anyway, that was good. What, okay, so eventually you're going to transition away from, because this is what I see, and I could be totally off.
Oh, tell me what you see. I want to hear totally your crystal ball.
You should be a concierge to the, not just you, not just the LA, but beyond. LA and beyond.
Concierge to the world?
Okay. Why, you know, why stop at just LA or United States?
The universe.
Exactly. I mean, don't you see that? I mean, because that's what I actually thought that's what you were, that's actually, because when you're asked a concierge, and you have two identities, okay? You have your identity at the London, mm-hmm. and you have the identity of ask a concierge, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I know you've been going out of town. I mean, you've been traveling a lot because I follow you, so I know what you're doing, lady.
You're okay? Like, you are all over
exactly.
The place.
And that has nothing to do with LA or the London. So, so do you see yourself? What do you see yourself? So let's say, I don't know, 2 years from now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, I do envision, you know, ultimately working for myself, and certainly just so that it's not necessarily any commitments to one property. And right now, just requests that are coming in, whether it's for consulting, because I do get hospitality consulting requests, and also then content creating requests as well too. And that for me is, I love that. And I love the hospitality consulting as well too, because that is like what I've been living and breathing for so long. But everything that I've been able to do, like it just kind of like meshes together. So, I mean, I definitely see myself traveling quite a bit and working with a lot of great hospitality brands, and also kind of helping bring like a face to different hotels. I've been working a lot with Marriott, and I love working with them, and I get to go to their properties, and they have fantastic properties, but to basically highlight their, I call them almost like their local heroes. So each hotel kind of, they have their like their stars, whether it's like an amazing bartender, an amazing concierge, and to kind of bring light to them, because ultimately, at the end of the day, no matter how much technology, whether we do this, that, or the other, it's going to be the human touch that exactly. still brings people back. Mm-hmm. And I want to find that in all the hotels, because I know what it's like to help provide that in all of my experience. So I like to find those people in the hotels, because it's they are your local best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's bartender, concierge, front desk agent, whoever it is. They're the ones that are really making that property special. So I kind of see myself kind of helping shed light on those individuals.
I do,
too. And growing.
I do, too. I do, too. So what about these hard-to-get tickets and things like that?
Ooh.
Like, say I want to go to the Laker-Clipper game.
Mm-hmm.
You can help me out with that?
Yeah.
People want to hear that stuff. People want to hear that. They want to hear that I just go to you, I just call you and say.
Yeah, you can do that. No, I mean, now here's the thing. There's actually one of my mentors who is head concierge over at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills, James Little, loved him. He was my boss for forever. He actually, one time I had interviewed him and he told me about this thing called the Pyramid of Service. And I was like, ooh, Pyramid of Service, talk to me. And, so the Pyramid of Service is basically, there are three things. You've got time, money, and connections. And so you've got those three things. You need at least two of those things in order to get something done. So that being said, it's like whether you like don't necessarily want to spend a lot of money on something, you need to have the time. So plan ahead and have there be like the right connection for that. So whether that's like helping get a ticket to like the Ellen show or something. Or if there's not a lot of time and it's the last minute, like it's having the right connection and then also being willing to pay to play, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's yes, can I help get somebody Lakers tickets? Absolutely. Are they going to be for free?
No,
for sure. But like, hey, I'm not saying for you, but like people ask, they're like, oh, can you help me get free stuff? And it's like, it doesn't really work that way. I mean, yeah, there are some things that I can help hook up, mm-hmm, with leeway, you know, with like a lead time to it. So I don't know. I just always really love that thing with the Pyramid of Service, whether, you know, think about having, whether there's enough time, whether you have the money, and whether somebody has like the connection for it, and it having two of those, and you can make anything happen.
I like that.
Yeah, right?
Pyramid of what? What is it called?
The Pyramid of Service.
Pyramid of Service. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about hospitality unplugged, right?
It is.
This is...
Giving you a little jump here.
I hope people are writing this stuff down because Sarah is like on fire right now.
On fire.
So you consider yourself an influencer?
Oh, gosh.
That's always the question. That's always the burning question here. Do you consider yourself an influencer, Sarah?
Okay, so I don't like the idea of influencer like in our current like understanding of it, because I have met influencers and some really don't necessarily have a lot of influence. But what I do say actually to other concierge, as I encourage them to be active on social media, is I say concierge are the original influencers. We are, because it's like as a concierge, like it's your job to experience things and to know about things and to give valid recommendations. So, yeah, you could call me an OG influencer.
OG.
An wow. OG influencer.
Did she just say the OG? Or did she just throw that out there?
I did.
All right, Sarah, OG. Okay, no, that...
I'm no,
that's
myself
good.
Dance.
That's good. That's good. No, I would say you are, because like you said, I mean, you're in charge of people's experience.
Yeah, and it's really about giving like accurate, you know, recommendations and referrals, and I think a true concierge knows how to recommend something that's appropriate for the guests. I know so often people are like, I don't want to use the concierge because they get kickbacks, or they're not in it for that guest experience. They just like want to recommend certain businesses. And it's like, okay, yeah, we definitely have businesses that we work with because we have a good relationship with them. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the guest has a good time.
Exactly.
So like, if you want to know a great steak place, I'm not going to suggest a sushi place because you don't want sushi. You want steak. Like, that just is ridiculous to me. And because anytime a concierge recommends, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's an activity, whatever, back and be like, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That to me is really what counts.
Yes.
So.
I like that. I love that. Vegan restaurant in LA.
Okay, hold on. Are you vegan, or are you vegetarian?
No, I'm a vegan.
Oh, you're vegan.
Yeah.
You're straight up no dairy, no...
Let me give you a disclaimer. As of the first year, January 3rd.
Okay.
I was a vegetarian for 13 years, and I became a vegan the 3rd of January.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
So far, so good. As long as I can find things to eat.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking at. I'm always looking for different restaurants to try out, vegan restaurants
for sure.
So do you have a list?
Where can I go eat? One of my favorite places is a place called Vegan Glory. It's over, like in the West Hollywood area. It's a Thai vegan restaurant.
Okay.
Amazing. I've been going there for years.
Vegan Glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty simple. Vegan Glory.
Huh.
You can't really go wrong with vegan Thai food. Okay. But I've been vegetarian. Gosh. So I've been vegetarian 7 years.
Okay.
But I haven't eaten beef or pork since I was 14.
Really?
Yeah. So
wish I could say that.
Yeah, right. I would totally go vegan if it weren't for the fact that I travel so much that is hard. That is hard. Being vegetarian anywhere, I'm like, it's fine. I'm like, give me an apple and some lettuce. I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, I'm okay. I'd like a little bit more, but like in general, I can handle that. But for my lifestyle and everything, being vegan is just hard when I have to rely on other people to feed me.
Exactly. No, like, I understand. You're at their mercy, especially when you're doing fam trips or tourism trips like you've been doing.
Totally.
And
there, I will say, I will just put this out there, there are rare times that I might have a little bit of fish if I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. Let's just say I'm traveling and, you know, sometimes I'm very, very lucky that I get to go to some amazing restaurants and I have chefs like prepare things. Most of the time, if the chefs are preparing something, they'll prepare something vegetarian for me. Easy breezy, no problem. But like, for example, I was in Santiago, Chile last year, and a friend of mine took me to this restaurant that is like this famous fish restaurant. It's like the place to go to. And it's like, there was nothing vegetarian on that menu. And I'm like, you know what? Like, when in Rome, like when in Chile, I was like, this might be a place to try Chilean sea bass. So I did have like a piece of Chilean sea bass. And then I was like, okay. So, I mean, I am it 99.9% of the time.
I understand. But okay. Like, I understand. You preach it to the choir, lady.
You know,
because I was in Alaska, you know, yeah, a couple months ago. And, you know, Alaska is known for this salmon.
Yeah.
Right? Fresh. And,
yeah.
So, you know, when in Alaska, Russell had to do what the Alaskans do, right?
And I tried a little. And every so often I might have like a bite just to be like, hey, do I want this? And I'm like, I'm not into this. So it's like, I enjoyed that Chilean sea bass, but I wasn't like, oh, I want to eat fish again. I had it. I'm good.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. So you get invited to a lot of places then.
I do.
So, I mean, when you first started.
Plus one?
There you go. Okay. That's what I'm leading up to. So, okay, when you first started, you were trying to make all these contacts. Now, I'm pretty sure those people are calling you now. Say,
yeah,
hey,
yeah, it's
you
a
come
mix.
Over here now, right?
It's a mix. I mean, I definitely have people that reach out for sure. There are people that reach out. And then I just have to figure out whether it makes sense for, you know, as far as like timing, whether I can handle, you know, because like a girl's got to stay at home every so often.
Like, you don't.
I don't.
Looking at
true.
Your Instagram, you don't stay at home ever.
I don't stay at home. I'm like, Netflix, what? I'm like, I don't even know why I have it. But yeah, I mean, so I do have a lot of people reach out, but there are absolutely places that I reach out to as well, too, because it's like something comes across my radar and I'm like, ooh.
But then they say, oh, I've heard of you. Oh, definitely. Come on over. Do you get that? Or are you like, you know what? Who are you?
No, I get it. Oh, definitely come over. I don't get a, oh my gosh, who are
like,
you?
Oh, Sarah.
No,
oh,
I don't get that.
Asking concierge, Sarah?
No.
OMG.
No,
you don't get that?
We are not like that yet.
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yet.
I don't believe
yet.
You. You have your own. Okay, give us your YouTube channel because we got to wind
down. Okay, cool. Yeah, we got to wind down because I talked about a lot of things.
Yes, you did. But give everyone your information because people need to find you.
Okay, cool. So you can totally find my videos, which I love to do. I've got a great team that I work with. YouTube.com/AskAConcierge TV. And then all of my other social media handles are just Ask a Concierge. But you can also find everything on my website, AskAConcierge.tv.
Wow, that's simple.
We try to keep it simple. Yours is simple, too.
Well, RussellHotels.com, I'm not as creative, you know, .tv.
Oh, that was not creative. That was because somebody took the .com before me, and then they were trying to be like, can you pay $15,000 for it? And I was like, I will do .tv.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. No, that works. I remember seeing the first video. Well, the first video I saw of yours was the one at Universal Studios.
That was the first one you saw of
that's
mine?
The one. Yeah, and when I saw that, I was hooked. I said, I need this girl on this show. This was even before I did the show. But
this
I saw
crazy,
it when
that was
I was
like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was still at the Sheraton.
Okay.
And when I saw it, and I think I asked Shizuru and Dai about it.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. And yeah, they're and like, they said, we love that. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I love them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have to say that shoot was. That was a really special shoot for me. Mm-hmm. I've known Luis, who's like a contact of ours over at Universal for a very, very long time. And he's like, please come. And so we set up the day. And obviously it's Universal Studios, so things have to be like a little bit more elevated and there's more red tape, you could say. Mm-hmm. So we had to tell them what we were shooting with, et cetera, and then we get there and we basically had handlers with us all day. And they would, every time we would go to film something, they'd put up a sign that was like, hot set, filming in progress, ask a concierge. And, like, that's when I had a moment that I was like, dude, I'm on the set. I'm, like, I'm at Universal Studios, and they're, like, hot set, ask a concierge. I'm, like, this is cool. This is steps in the right direction.
That
I love it.
Definitely. No, congratulations on all your success.
You're sweet.
The
hustle's real.
Right?
For all of us.
Right?
For all of us.
I know that's right. I know that's right. And you've always been very gracious to me, and I do appreciate that. You've always been very nice. So when I reached out to you, you just said, oh, yeah, definitely.
100%.
I mean, without question.
Without question.
Now, do you guys hear that? Because I approach people with this all the time. They're like, I don't want to be on there. What are you going to ask me? Did you know any of the questions I'm going to ask you?
No, I didn't know anything.
Did
I even ask you, like, oh, what are you going to ask me? I was like, let's roll with it.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm talking about. Dang, yes.
Yes, and. Yes, and. You just roll with it.
But anyway, I do thank you for your time and coming here. I know you got stuck in traffic, so I do appreciate you.
I mean, that's
bearing the traffic here in LA, which is part of the
life.
Deal, right?
Yeah,
it's part of the deal.
It's all good.
So yeah, but how far did you have to drive?
No, it wasn't too bad, but it was like coming over from like West Hollywood. But it's good.
Wee ho.
Wee ho.
Okay. Hey, wee ho.
Boop.
Yeah.
just the whoop whoop, just me? Cool, that's cool. I'm so glad. Anyway. I have my own soundtrack. You're welcome. I come with my own soundtrack and sound effects. You're welcome.
We got to have you back on the show.
One person man. Show. Yeah, what?
Yeah, you don't need me.
Are you kidding me?
I'll just give you the mic next time and you could just do, just go for
and
it.
And then we apologize in advance to everybody for that train wreck. Yeah.
But anyway, but I thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Everyone for listening and for watching us on Facebook Live and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're winding down. We're got a couple minutes and I don't want Ronan to come to the window like, you know.
He's like, end the show. Exactly. Get the blonde girl off the mic. We are done.
But anyway, I thank you so much for joining us. Next week, I'm not sure if I'm doing the show. I'll let you know because I'm going to be traveling on Tuesday. My dad's services are on Monday, and then I actually have to travel to Santa Fe, New Mexico for a fam trip that I'm doing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so if I can do it from there, I will, but I think I'm in the air at 1 o'clock, so I'm not sure if I'll be doing it. So I'll let people know, okay? So, but thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. And our guest, the famous Sarah Dandashi,
yes.
Ask a Concierge. So go to askaconcierge.tv.
That's right.
Right?
.tv.
There you go. All right. So you guys take care. Have a great Tuesday. And thanks again. Oh, I did the wrong thing.
You're listening to